Well, my wife Mary did it again just this past week. Our littlest granddaughter, 5-year-old each cell, was trying to keep up. I mean, when you're 5 years old and you got five other grandchildren in front of you, you're always trying to keep up. But she was running, trying to catch one of the twins, and she tripped and fell and skinned her elbow. I was actually supposed to be watching them, and so I was the first one there, and of course she took it like any 5-year-old child would take it. She was screaming her head off, tears everywhere, and she kept saying, "Grandma, Grandma, Grandma," and so I got her picked up and kind of dusted off, and then Mary, of course, heard her crying, and she came out, and "Grandma, Grandma, Grandma," so she... I said, "Honey, it's not even a scratch." And Mary said, "Oh, you poor honey." She said, "Here, let me kiss it." So she kissed each cell's elbow, and the tears kind of dried up, and she gave Grandma a hug and then went off and started chasing her sisters again. I don't know what there is about mothers, but I think they all have magic spit. I mean, my wife used to do it with our sons, and now she does it with our granddaughters, that somehow when mothers kiss it, it feels better. I call it magic spit. Of course, when she kisses me, I feel better too. So I guess that kind of works in more than one way, doesn't it? But Grandma can kiss it, and it feels better. Magic spit. You know, Jesus was a healer. Jesus was many things, of course, a great preacher, teacher. But first and foremost, as he's presented in the gospel, he's a healer. And he heals people not just physically. Sometimes he heals them spiritually or emotionally. I think about the Gerasene demoniac who was out of his mind crazy until he met the calming presence of Jesus. I think about the many times in the Bible where he heals people. For example, blind Bartimaeus sitting by the side of the road yelling at the top of his voice, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on me." And then there's that great story about the young man born blind. It's in the Gospel of John, and how Jesus heals him of his blindness. And then everybody gets mad at him. He heals people with dropsy. He heals people who are paralyzed. He heals people who are deaf. He heals people who are mute. But he also heals spirits. Jesus realized that many of our maladies are not just physical, but they're also spiritual. And I think almost every time he heals somebody who's blind physically, spiritually blind people have to pay attention. Because let's face it, we all have our blindnesses. We all have those things we should be seeing that we don't, or that we refuse to see. And we all have our burdens. We all have our aches and pains, of course, but some of us are bent over like the lady that was bent over double with the burdens of the world on our shoulders. And some of us are in need of physical healing. But one thing Jesus was a healer. That's why I like this particular story that Sally read for us so well. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village, and when he had put saliva on his hands and rubbed them on his eyes and laid hands on him, he asked him, "Can you see anything? Can you see anything?" I like this story because it's got the spit in it. Jesus spits on his hand. I mean, that's kind of gross stuff, really, when you think about it. Spits on his hands and rubs it on these poor guys' eyes. My mom always said that sometimes if you're going to heal people, it costs you. You're going to have to pay a price for the healing. I guess the price this guy paid was magic spit. Magic spit on his eyes. My mom also said, never wrestle with a pig because you both get muddy and the pig likes it. But sometimes we have to get muddy in this world, especially if we're going to bring hope and healing to those around us. Jesus put saliva on this guy's eyes. And yeah, that's kind of gross, but healing can be a dirty business. The other reason I like this particular story is it takes Jesus more than one time to make it right. Oh, we always think about Jesus so much as in the divine sense. But you know, the guy was human as well. And after he says, can you see anything? And the man looked up and said, well, I can see people, but they look like trees walking. Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again. I'm sure he spit again. And he looked intently, and his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. He saw everything clearly. It took more than once for this healing to occur. You know, some of us have been through multiple surgeries understand that. Sometimes it takes more than once to get healed. When my oldest sister, Susan, was 13 years old, she woke up one morning and she couldn't move. This was back in the mid-50s, and some of you know what I'm going to say. Polio. Yeah, she had contracted infantile paralysis, polio. Well, my parents rushed her to the hospital, which was 60 miles away in Omaha, Nebraska, and she was immediately put into the Children's Hospital, which was a new hospital that had just opened up strictly for children with polio. My mom tells a story of night after night sitting by my sister Susan's bedside praying that she would breathe. Because if she didn't breathe, she would have to go in the iron lung. The basement of the Children's Hospital in Omaha was filled with iron lungs with children in it. There were probably 100 of them. And so my mother would pray every night just for my sister to breathe. And after several weeks in the hospital, and fortunately she did not have to go into the iron lung, but she had tremendous damage from the polio, primarily in her right leg, but also her lungs and her left leg. During her teen years, from the time she was in the eighth grade till she was a sophomore in high school, she wore braces on her legs. And during that time, she also had 6 surgeries to try to ease the tension of her gnarled muscles. As I say, my parents lived 60 miles from the nearest hospital at the time, and so there was no kind of rehabilitation therapy. There were no physical therapists in this little bitty town in the mid-50s where they lived. And so my mom became my sister's physical therapist. And every day, my mother would have my sister lie down on the bed, and she would do the things that the physical therapist taught her. She would stretch those muscles, and she would move those legs and forcefully move them. And my sister would cry out in pain, and she would cry and beg my mother to quit. But my mom faithfully, every day, pushed on her legs and pulled on her legs and did her other therapies. And then my mom said that after a half hour of my sister Sue crying, my mom would then go into her bedroom and cry. Sometimes healing is hard, and it doesn't always happen on the first try. Let me tell you a happy ending to that one. My sister, after enduring surgeries and physical therapy, had one goal in her mind, and that was that she would become a cheerleader. Remember, she had braces on her legs till she was a sophomore in high school. her senior year, she was elected cheerleader. So now I'm going to jump forward now to talk a little bit more about healing. This is probably 30 or 35 years later. All of us kids are, of course, now grown and have families of our own. My mother had recently retired from 25 years of teaching. She's an elementary school teacher. My father had just died. She had lost her sister and then found out that she had breast cancer. We were all gathered, we being myself and my oldest sister Susan and my other two sisters, Fran and Linda, and my younger brother Bill, were all gathered around her bedside as they did a double mastectomy. Doctors felt that was the only way to be sure. And when they brought her in after the surgery, the doctor looked at us, the five of us kids, and he said, "Well, we won't know more until the tests come back, but she may have to have chemo and radiation." You have to know my mom, even though she was half out of it, just out of surgery, she says to the doctor, "Hey, talk to me, I'm right here." And so the doctor turned and said, "Well, you may have to have radiation and chemotherapy." And she said, "No, I won't." She said, "I will not go through any of those things. I'm not going to have radiation. I'm not going to have chemotherapy." Well, the doctor kind of looked at us, the five kids, and we didn't know what to say. And all of a sudden, my sister Sue, whose right leg to this day is smaller than her left leg, stood up and said, "My mother will have what she needs. I don't care what she wants. She will have what she needs." A mother's love. A daughter's love for her mother. She will be healed. Well, I'll finish that story too. My mother lived to be 101. And died a wonderful death, surrounded by her five children. Magic spit. Kiss it and make it better. Moms are really good at that. Of course, now I have to, in all honesty, talk a little bit about my healing. My pain wasn't physical so much as it was spiritual, emotional, and that was when our son was killed. Very, very difficult time in our lives in which we prayed every day for Christ's healing. Exactly a year later, we were gathered with some friends to remember the anniversary of our son's death when our telephone rang and I picked it up, and it was our best friends in the world, friends from college, my college roommate and his wife, calling to tell us that their son had just been killed. Of course, he wanted me to do the funeral. And here's the amazing part. They lived in the same town as my sister, Susan. And my sister, Susan, had, in that time, become a local pastor. And so we did the funeral together. And, of course, it was a very sad occasion. We had it in the school gym, and it was packed. There must have been 1,000 people there. And afterwards, we went to the grave to do the burial. And my sister Sue and I were riding in the hearse. And as I got out of the hearse, I scraped the top of my head on the car door. Those of you who have hair don't know how lucky you are. Because in my bald head, it took about an inch of skin and left it on top of the door. Well, I had more important things on my mind. I didn't even hardly think about it. I just went and I started to do the graveside service. When my friend Mike, son had just died, came up and said, "Ed, you're bleeding." And I looked and I felt, and sure enough, my hand came away with blood, and it was coming down my forehead. And my sister Sue, who was helping with the service, said, "Just a second." And she reached in her purse, and she pulled out an old Kleenex. And she got it all speed and stuck it on the top of my head. And I did the rest of the service with a glob of Kleenex on the top of my bald head. Magic spit. The healing power of love. The way we can heal others, the way we've been healed. Even though I had a glob of Kleenex on my head. My sister Sue is still a wise and wonderful woman. She now has post-polio and has lost her power to walk, but not her power. And so it is that we are healed and that we heal others. And sometimes it does take radical surgery. And sometimes it just takes a kiss. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you. Thank you for your healing spirit. Help us to see the places we're blind. Help us to know the wonderful healing that comes in Christ and be thankful.